Welcome, everyone, to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I am your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode 30 of the 2024 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft-eligible prospects and get you ready for the NFL draft. And the countdown, again, is on to Thursday, April 25th in Detroit, Michigan. Look, Detroit, this has kind of been the epicenter of the NFL, right? We saw the emergence of Dan Campbell's Lions, Jared Goff, and Amon-Ra St. Brown and company leading that offense, Aiden Hutchinson running that defense. And this was a team that went to the NFC Championship. They're knocking on the door to get to their first Super Bowl. And so I think the excitement there in Detroit is going to be high. And I think they're going to really be enjoying this NFL draft. A lot of conversations. Is Michael Penix Jr. going to be a first-round pick? Is he going to be taken at 13? 13 still feels a little bit high. If I'm the Raiders, I'd probably trade back into round one to get Michael Penix Jr. I've got him taking him in round number two, but I even noted in my second round mock there on readyforthedraft.com, you can find some of the details. I even say they could trade up and get Michael Penix Jr. back into round one. I'm kind of expecting that to happen. Will Michael Penix Jr. fall all the way to round two? I think that's where a lot of teams have his grade because, look, short to intermediate, that's where he struggles. That's where the accuracy falls. But, look, a lot of the intangibles with Michael Penix Jr., the coaches fall in love with that. I think Antonio Pierce, if he can't get Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix Jr. is their guy. Look, Aiden O'Connell, we know, is not going to be the answer. No more Jimmy Garoppolo. You bring in, Gardner Minshew, Michael Penix Jr., look, there's your bridge quarterback, kind of like Indy had with Gardner Minshew, with springboarding into Anthony Richardson. So I think looking at the Raiders, that seems like to make a lot of sense. I saw someone saying that Marvin Harrison Jr. might be trying to quietly tank his draft stock to potentially pair up with the Bears. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Why would somebody be doing that? I mean, he could go to the Cardinals, be a number one wideout with Kyler Murray. We've seen the success there with Murray that he's had. Larry Fitzgerald, Nuke Hopkins, you bring him in, it makes a whole lot of sense there for Arizona. A lot of the excitement there with that passing game. But if I'm the Bears, I may even make a phone call, maybe even with the Patriots, somebody to see if I can trade up and get him. Is he going to be around there at 9? I just don't see that happening. You mean to tell me that there are going to be 8 teams that are going to pass on Marvin Harrison Jr.? I just don't buy it. I don't buy that happening, with him falling all the way to number 9. A lot of smoke screens, a lot of things that are, trying to rattle the cages of not only the media, social media, rattling all of us, but trying to also rattle the teams. I think really at this point, it's all smoke screens. And we'll find out soon, just in a few days, just how all 3 days of the draft will play out. Episode 30, look, we're playing NFL draft by the numbers. In order for us to really predict how things are going to go in the NFL draft for 2024, we have to look at the past. And that's what we've been doing with this series, NFL draft by the numbers. Analytics, look, they have a lot of their numbers. I play by the numbers a little bit differently when we look at the draft because I want to understand what history has told us. I think we learn from history, and when we look at the NFL draft, just how many players at each position are coming off the board. We've taken a look at quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, tight ends, O-line, defensive ends. We're now going to go into the interior of that defensive line, the defensive tackles, really take a look at this position and really what is that dynamic over the last 3 years and really over the last 5 years as well at the position, and where are we with this year's draft class? How is this all going to play out? What does it look like? And how close and how accurate can we potentially get with this year's draft class, especially in terms of the total number of players that we expect to see taken on draft day? So it's an exciting time for sure. We're going to go ahead and jump into things, and I think looking at the draft, understanding what's happened. 2023, we had 4 D-tackles come off the board in round number 1. Jalen Carter, number 9 overall. The Eagles trading up 1 pick with the Bears to get that number 9 overall pick. Jalen Carter, the Eagles, it was kind of like the rich get richer, getting Carter there at defensive tackle. Kalijah Kancey with the Bucks at 19 overall. I really liked that pick. I thought that was a great great pickup, and Kansas responded. He really has, in that three-man front there with the Bucks. Mazi Smith going to be a force in the middle there for the Cowboys at number 26 overall. Then Brian Bresee, a backup right now. I think he'll end up being a starter. I think he led the interior lineman in sacks this past season, despite not even starting a game, if I remember correctly, number 29 overall. After that, you got Keanu Benton to the Steelers and Jervon Dexter to the Bears in round number two. Zach Pickens, another Bears pick. Bears loading up on that interior, that D-line. Byron Young, round number three, 70 overall. Then Kobe Turner, looks like a freaking steal, man. This was the guy that was on my radar coming out of Wake Forest. But honestly, I don't think anybody could have really predicted the type of year that Kobe Turner was going to have. At Wake Forest, this was a guy, 10 tackles for loss, 2 sacks. A guy that was really showing some good explosiveness getting into the backfield. And that was one of the things that I think the Rams really gravitated towards and why they took him as high as they did. I think, I don't think everyone was expecting him to come off the board quite that high. But, dude, this guy ended up with 57 tackles this past year, 9 sacks, another 8 tackles for loss, 16 quarterback hits. Now, look, he was also playing alongside Aaron Donald. But I look at this year, I look at Kobe Turner. This is the guy that, if he can continue that push up front, Rams are going to have a formidable front getting after the quarterback, but it's all going to start there with Kobe Turner. Broderick Martin, the big dude there out of Western Kentucky, going to the Lions. Siaki Ika, another big man in round number three. Interesting nose tackles coming off the board as high as they did. Adetemiwa Adebare going to the Colts. Colby Wooden, Cameron Young in round number four. Jacqueline Roy, Keandre Coburn, Scott Matlock, Dante Stills in rounds 5 and 6. Travis Bell, Raymond Bohosik, Nessa Jane Silvera, Jordan Riley, Moro Ojomo, DeJuan Johnson. A lot of guys there on day three that just haven't made quite the impact yet. Obviously it was a rookie year. DeJuan Johnson right now is actually slated possibly as the starter there at DN for the Rams, if you can believe that. But as you look at that draft, you're talking about 4 in round 1, 2 in round 2, 5 in round 3, 3, 1, 3, 6 in rounds 4 through 7, so those day 3 picks. So that ended up with a total of 24 D tackles taken. So when you think about that, that's the most that we've seen since there were 23 and back in 2019. So really on the uptick there, looking at those interior rushers. Look, guys are signing bigger deals. That's really been a big focus. This year's draft class, I only see 2 guys coming off the board in round number 1. This is really going to be loaded in rounds 2 through 4. I feel like that's really where the sweet spot is going to be with this year's draft. If we take a look at the 2022 draft. Jordan Davis, the freakish athleticism with this guy, at 340 pounds, coming off the board to the Eagles at 13. You got Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter in the middle of that line. It's absolutely insane. At 28 overall, Devontae Wyatt. This is a guy that's starting there for the Packers up front. Logan Hall with the Bucks at the top of round number 2, just hasn't quite come into his own yet with the Bucks. Fedarian Mathis. Look, big Phil Mathis going to the Commanders, number 47 overall. Travis Jones looking to play a potential nose tackle there for the Ravens. DeMarvin Leal, Zach Carter, Perrion Winfrey, Neil Farrell in rounds 3 and 4. DJ Davidson, Thomas Booker, Eric Johnson, Otito Obanaya, Matt Butler. You look at a lot of the names, and again, guys that just haven't really had much of a breakout. But look, teams are still, they're shooting their shot. They're looking to see if they can bring somebody in. Only 21 in 2022. 7 off the board in the first 3 rounds, including just 2 in 20 in the first round. They were loaded on the back end with 11 between the 5th and 6th rounds. 2021. Not a single D tackle taken in round number 1. That was the year that Christian Barmore, he's a starter up front for the Patriots, going 38 overall. Levi Amuzurike and Aleem McNeil going to the line. You know, Aleem McNeil has stepped up. Levi's struggled a bit. And look, you know, McNeil really kind of a bargain for them in round number three, taking 31 picks after Levi. Milton Williams looks like he may be a starter there with the Eagles, going number 73 overall, one pick later after McNeil. You know, Oso Digizua, J2Fele is now with the Bengals. You know, Bobby Brown slated right now to be a potential, you know, starter at nose tackle for the Rams. Tyler Shelvin, Tommy Togiai, Taquan Graham looks like, you know, in fifth round that he may end up making an impact there for the Falcons. You know, T.J. Slayton for the Packers, you know, has gotten some playing time. Roy Lopez with the Texans, really, you know, considered a steal there in round number six. So that draft class, ultimately what we're looking at is a total of 19 taken. Not a huge draft. We already knew that when we saw zero coming off the board in round number one, just five on day two of the draft. So not really a whole lot of action with this group. And when you look at the names, you know, not a ton of excitement with these groups. You know, really a lot of guys that were just kind of filling roster spots more than anything else. You get to 2020, and you got two guys taken in the first. And, I mean, Derek Brown, what can you say about him with the Panthers? This dude is a stud, 7 overall. Javon Kinlaw, number 14 overall to the Niners. You know, Ross Blacklock and Raekwon Davis kind of missed the boat there in round number two. But then you look at Justin Madubuike, number 71 overall. So this is a dude, he got a huge payday there with the Ravens. You know, again, proof that when you hit, you know, these are guys that you want to make sure that you're locking them up, because as we're going through this list, there are a lot of guys that just have not panned out. You know, Devon Hamilton, Neville Gallimore, Jordan Elliott, McTelvin Aguim. You know, those are the guys that were taken in rounds two and three of the draft. Leckie Fotu, Rashard Lawrence, Latrell Murchison in rounds number four and five. Again, not a strong draft class overall. You're looking at a total of 18. But this was a draft where we did see nine taken in the first 2 days of the draft. You know, I think that there's a chance with this year's draft class, you know, we could see as many as seven, possibly eight or nine. You know, it just really kind of depends on, you know, where teams are really focused. I think one of the things is, you know, teams that may be eyeing a wide receiver because of the depth there. They may be eyeing a corner, but because of the depth in that position as well, they could potentially go after the D tackle spot that isn't as deep earlier, and then still say, you know what, we can pick up a solid wideout or a solid corner on day three of the draft and be comfortable in that space. 2019's draft, this was the draft where, you know, we saw six come off the board in round one, and we've seen some playmakers in this group. Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver, both taken in the top 10. Christian Wilkins signed a big deal with the Raiders. He was number 13 overall. Dexter Lawrence has been a mainstay with the Giants, number 17. Jeffrey Simmons stepping up for the Titans, number 19 overall. The only one that really hasn't panned out is Jerry Tillery. Found a new home after playing with the Chargers there, going 28 overall. Draymond Jones has had him, you know, built himself a nice niche there with the Broncos, going number 71 overall in round number three. Kalen Saunders now with the Saints, a starter there at the nose, number 84 overall. Greg Gaines played really well for the Rams in the Super Bowl. He's now with the Bucks. He was a round four pick. You know, this was a draft class. You know, really, it was the first four rounds. You saw quite a few guys coming off the board. The rest of the guys in this draft class, you know, a lot of the guys out of the league. Some of the guys, you know, filling in some roster spots, but, you know, nothing really substantial to really make note of. But when you look at it, six in round one, only one in round two. So you end up with nine in the first 2 days of the draft, 23 overall, though. So a lot of guys taken on the back end of the draft. Day three was really where that was the focus, right? So if we look at the three-year average and the five-year average for that matter, you're averaging about 21 D tackles taken. So a lot of that is due to the drop in the talent level there in the 2020 and 2021 drafts. But, you know, 2023, we saw 24. I've got 23 guys right now that I've got pegged to come off the board for this year's draft. Now, when we talk about guys, you know, what round might we see these guys coming off the board? Three-year average, we're looking at 2, 5-year average, you know, 2.8. Because we saw as many, you know, we saw 4 in 2023, 0 in 2021. But I'm looking at Byron Murphy out of Texas as the lead dog here with this D-tackle group. 6'5", 297 pounds. And I look at Byron Murphy, and this is a guy that could come off the board. Really, I think, you know, if Minnesota weren't targeting a quarterback, that'd be a perfect spot there at number 11. I think this is a guy that could come off the board. You know, I think really the sweet spot would be Seattle sitting there at 16. You look at Leonard Williams. I think this is a guy that could end up coming in there and replacing Leonard Williams eventually. Ultimately, I think Seattle, Troy Fatanu just seems like, you know, he would be a perfect fit. Play that guard spot, and then you keep an eye on Abe Lucas and that knee. He could potentially move outside and play tackle as well. I look at Byron Murphy, and I look at Cincinnati, and that just makes way too much sense for me. I think Murphy, that's really where he should be coming off the board. It just, like I said, it makes way too much sense for me just because of the fact that when we think about the Bengals and that front, you know, B.J. Hill, 4.5 sacks. Sheldon Rankins, you know, brought in to replace the departed D.J. Reader, but there's no depth. Rankins just signed for 2 years. Feels kind of like a short-term Band-Aid to me. And so when we talk about Byron Murphy, this guy, look, he emerged as a top talent. 29 tackles, 8.5 going for loss, 5 sacks, Big 12 defensive lineman of the year. Look, Devondre Sweat was eating space. This was a guy that was showing that explosiveness, so quick off the ball, excellent change of direction skills, shooting gaps early. You saw some quick arm overs. You know, this was a guy that was continually beating interior linemen. You watched him in the semifinal game. Jordan Brailsford, you know, just using a quick swim. You know, Kaleppo and Bulo, the guards there for Washington as well. He was beating them like a drum. You love the quickness that he has off the ball. Look, he ran a 4.87 40, 1.69 10-yard split. If you watch him in the drills, the footwork was exceptional. 28 reps at 225, so the strength checks out as well with what you see on the tape. Disruptive in the run game as well as a pass, you know, a pass rusher from the interior. And look, like I said, Seattle, it would be a nice fit. I think ultimately the Bengals would be the right choice. And then the Rams. Look, if the Rams end up getting Byron Murphy the second falling to them, they're going to snatch him up in a heartbeat. Why? You can pair him up with Kobe Turner, much like you have with Turner and AD, and I think you'd end up having a pretty formidable duo up front. Now look, I know Byron Murphy the second is not AD. I can't compare him to the GOAT in terms of that interior line play, because look, to me, there's nobody better than Aaron Donald with what he was able to do. Double, triple, quadruple team, and was still able to get home. He was a guy that could sit there and wreck games, you know, and there's a reason why he's going to be a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer. So obviously you can't replace him, but here's the thing. Kobe Turner, he needs that running mate with him along the defensive front. I look at Byron Murphy. If he's still on the board at 19, I know they want an edge rusher as well. And I said in the last podcast, Liatu Latu, Jared Verse, one of them falls to 19, that's going to be the pick. Only if Byron Murphy is not on the board. The other guy that I think is going to come off the board in round number one is Johnny Newton. You know, Jerzon Johnny Newton, 6'2", 304. And I've seen some people say, well, he may fall to round two. I don't know. He's a little undersized. Come on. I don't buy that. You know, I look at Johnny Newton, and I think this is a guy that we are going to see I've got him right now because I don't predict any trades or anything like that. So without any trades, I've got the Minnesota Vikings sitting there at 23. And look, you know, Minnesota, they may not trade up. You know, in all likelihood, why else would they end up trading back into round number one, getting that pick from Houston, number 23 overall, if they weren't interested in moving up to get their quarterback? In all likelihood, it's going to be J.J. McCarthy, although Josh McCown has that relationship with Drake May. Maybe they look to try to go up and target him. You know, we'll see. But you look at Minnesota, if they end up staying at 11 and J.J. McCarthy falls to them, which, you know, it could happen. You know, you look at it, okay, Danielle Hunter, now at the Texans. D.J. Wonnum is in Carolina. They bring in Jonathan Greenard and Andrew Van Ginkel. So I think Chop Robinson could be the guy there for them. But I look at the interior of that line, and what we're talking about is you got Bullard, Jonathan Bullard, Harrison Phillips, the only two that really provided any help with the pass rush. 5 sacks between the two of them. You know, they were top 10 against the run. They need to be able to get after the quarterback. And I'm looking at Newton, 18 sacks in his career, including 7.5 this past season. Also very active, 50 tackles in each of the last 3 seasons, top 4 in tackles in each of the last 2 seasons, 27.5 tackles for loss in his career as well. So quick off with that first step off the line, puts stress on that interior lineman in front of him, uses those exceptional handwork, 2-hand swipes, push pulls, rips to clear himself, and then that explosiveness to get into the backfield, chase down the quarterback, can chase down running backs from behind as well. You know, this is a guy that's going to get skinny. He's going to shoot gaps. I think he can hold the point a bit, you know, against the run. Look, he's got a nonstop motor. He's continually giving chase. He's never really out of the play. Minnesota, I think it makes perfect sense for them, if they decide to stay there, to take Johnny Newton. If not, then I'm looking at Arizona sitting there at number 27 overall. I look at Johnny Newton. Look, they bring in Bilal Nichols. They bring in Justin Jones. Bilal Nichols, though, had 5 sacks. 5 sacks as a nose tackle for the Bears back in 2020. So when we think about that, you got Justin Jones on one side, Bilal Nichols in the middle, then you put Johnny Newton there. You see what Kalijah Kansey's done with the Bucs. Could Johnny Newton do something similar? You know, Kalijah Kansey's probably a little bit smaller than Newton, but still, undersized D lineman. I think it could be a perfect fit. I think it really does. And so I really don't understand why there are people that are talking about Johnny Newton potentially falling into the mid-round 2. If that does happen, that would be a heck of a steal. But what history tells us is outside of that 2021 draft, where we didn't see any, we've had at least 2 taken off the board in round number 1, which is why you probably take, you know, put money on the fact that Byron Murphy II and Johnny Newton will likely go off the board in round number 1. Round 2. History tells us we're not going to see a ton of guys taken in round 2 at this D tackle spot. We saw 2 in 4 of the last 5 years, only 1 in 2019, because obviously we had 6 come off the board in round 1. So the average is 2 over the 3 and 5 years. But this year, man, there's about 4 or 5 guys that can easily come off the board in round number 2. One of those is going to be Braden Fisk, 6'4", 292 pounds out of Florida State. And when you look at Braden Fisk, what he did at Western Michigan really put him on the map. He was the guy that, you know, through the transfer portal, everyone was wanting to target this guy because he had, look, 12 tackles for loss, 6 sacks, 59 total tackles for the Broncos, and Florida State ended up winning out, and I thought they were better off for it, obviously. I thought he was a tremendous pairing with Jared Verse playing alongside him. Fun player to watch because he always plays like his hair's on fire. Maximum effort, nonstop motor. You know, and look, when you talk about just their overall body of work in Kalamazoo, 13.5 sacks, 27 tackles for loss in those 4 seasons. Then he shows up to Florida State, a career-high 6 sacks, 9 tackles for loss. So quick coming off the ball, immediate stress on that interior lineman. Uses those hands to get off blocks, gets downhill in a hurry. Athleticism for days. You saw the burst on display at the combine, ran that eye-popping 4.7 8.40. You know, we knew Braden Fisk was feeling it because we hear the "oh yeah" at the very end, like the Kool-Aid man. And then looked very explosive in the drills, tremendous bend, ability to turn the corner in a hurry. Braden Fisk, I'm looking at Indy, 46 overall. Why not? They brought in, you know, Raekwon Davis as a backup. Taven Bryan, I thought, struggled to fill Grover Stewart's shoes when Stewart was suspended for 6 games for PED usage. It was clear that they needed Stewart. He's their guy stopping the run. And ultimately, he signed that 3-year, $39 million contract. You know, they've got DeForest Buckner in there. But I think you get another guy to match up with this group. And I think Braden Fisk would be a guy that brings a nice interior pass rush presence, especially when you look at the DNs. You know, you have 4 players with at least 8 sacks a season ago. Samson Ebukam, Kwidipe, and Deo Odegbo at the DM spot, and then DeForest Buckner as well. You throw Braden Fisk into the mix, and Indy's going to be putting a lot of pressure on quarterbacks in 2024 and beyond. Another guy, Michael Hall Jr., 6'3", 290 pounds. You know, I might be a little bit higher on Hall than others, but I think this is a guy that should come off the board in the second round. And reason being is, look, you know, you look at the drop in the sack production, right? But his pass rush win rate, 18.2%, second only to Byron Murphy, according to Pro Football Focus. Athleticism at the Senior Bowl, repeatedly winning as an interior pass rusher. He's one of those guys that, you know, he can get skinny when you need to shoot the gaps. Very explosive, getting downhill. I look at Hall Jr. and Houston Texans. They're completely overhauling the DT spot. You know, they bring in Denico Autry. Autry, look, 11 sacks, 11 and a half sacks a season ago to lead the Colts. Foley Fuatukasi going to start alongside him. And then Tim Settle, Mario Edwards brought in for depth. But really, outside of Autry, they don't have a whole lot of juice affecting the pass rush, affecting the passer from the interior. Hall Jr. would end up bringing that pass rush presence you know, up front along that interior, that line. Another guy to call out, who I'm penciling in, if you look at my mock draft, he's round three, but I think he can end up coming off the board in round number 2, and that's Mason Smith out of LSU. 6'5", 306. I think this guy, his draft stock is really, you know, starting to rise again. This was a guy that I think a lot of people were expecting to be a first rounder. Some people were even saying Mason Smith may end up being a top 10 pick. And it was all based on the work that he did as a true freshman. That true freshman season, he was just phenomenal. You know, 4 sacks in just 7 games, looked like a force. Devastating knee injury against Florida State in week 1 during the 2022 season. Comes back in 2020, you know, 2023. Expectations were high. Battling back from that ACL tear. Looked fantastic, though, against Missouri. 4 tackles, a sack, and a pass breakup. Quick burst getting to the quarterback. Utilized his length to his advantage as well. That 35-inch arms. Quick rip move. Good quickness coming off around on stunts to affect Brady Cook in that game. Other games, though, that pad level got too high, really affected that rush. And you can see it, though, as the season progressed, he continued to improve. Last 3 games, 11 tackles, 1.5 sacks, ran a 5.01 40 at the combine at 6'5", 306. Athleticism looks to be back. Forgotten commodity, but I think that hype is starting to come back. And I look at Cleveland. Cleveland, I just looked at my mock draft, and I actually have Mason Smith coming off the board in round number 2, and I'm looking at the Cleveland Browns. I think the Cleveland Browns, you know, Shelby Harris is going to take over a full-time starter next to Dalvin Tomlinson. Siaki Ika is coming off a foot injury, slowed his development. Quentin Jefferson, Maurice Hurst signed to 1-year deals. I think if they can land Smith here, that'd be a huge win and really allow him to, I think he's ultimately going to be the guy that's going to push Shelby Harris for that starting spot next to Dalvin Tomlinson. I really do. And I think his presence there will be felt early in Cleveland. I think once he gets to 100%, we're going to see him return to that freshman form back in 2021. Another guy that I'm really high on is Ruka Roro. I mean, not only does he have a last name that's just fun as hell to say, Roro, but the dude, you know, look, 6'4", 294 pounds, incredibly athletic, and a guy that I think can also put pressure on the quarterback. When you watch a Roro play, you know, look, physical specimen for sure. 6'4", 294, ran that 4.89 40 at the combine, 34-inch arms, ripped out 225 29 times with those long arms. But I mentioned as you watch him on the field, 12 sacks, 25 and a half tackles for loss, 9 breakups, pass breakups in his Clemson career. He can anchor at the and be stout at the point of attack against the run, athleticism to chase down ball carriers from behind, uses his hands well as an interior pass rusher, can be quite physical with his bull rush as well. I'm looking at the Rams. Rams are sitting there at 52 overall. I think they need a D tackle. Rams couldn't easily take Mason Smith and then you swap him and Rook. But I like Rook's ability to get after the quarterback. I love how he uses that length to his advantage, create some of that separation and is able to use not only that quickness, but the excellent handwork to get to the quarterback. You pair him up with Kobe Turner, I think you really have something there with the Rams. And then one last guy is Chris Jenkins out of Michigan, 6'3", 299 pounds. I think the league has known about this kid for quite some time. His dad obviously was a stud there with the Panthers, a first-round pick. And we talk about Jenkins, he made Bruce Feldman's freaks list. You know, Turkish getup with a 170-pound dumbbell, which is insane. Did pull-ups with an additional 100 pounds strapped to him. And he's 300 pounds. I mean, good Lord. Repped out 225 30 times at the combine with 34-inch arms. You combine that with a 4.9 140, and yeah, this dude is a freak. Strength to hold the point of attack, uses those hands well at the line of scrimmage, has the burst to close on the quarterback, and I'm sorry, I said Chris Jenkins. He was actually the 44th pick overall in 2001. Two-time All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler, so he's got that pedigree. And you look at Jenkins, you know, he still plays like he's a, you know, that 257-pounder that showed up in Michigan. Now he's, you know, a legit 299 pounds. And I think the best football, really, for Chris Jenkins is ahead of him. And when you look at Chris Jenkins, you look at the production, if you just play the numbers, you're going to say, it's not overly impressive, right? You know, have 54 tackles in 2022, but overall, 8.5 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks in his 4 years at Michigan. Nothing to really write home about, but when you watch him play, you watch the athleticism, you watch the strength, I think he's a guy that Packers could very well be tempted to take him. I also look at Miami, 55 overall. They saw Christian Wilkins leave, and they tried to replace him with quantity over quality with this. And you're looking at Deshaun Hand, Benito Jones, Neville Gallimore, Jonathan Harris, Isaiah Mack, Davion Nixon, all signed to one-year deals, I might add. All these additions, short-term, up front, I think Miami needs to look beyond the 2024 season, and I think Chris Jenkins, they can jump on Jenkins before he falls to the Packers sitting there. I think the Ravens as well. Ravens need to think about life after Brent Urban up front. Brent Urban is kind of that aging vet that's playing there with Justin Madubuike. I think Chris Jenkins would be perfect adding some depth there up front for them as well. So if you're scoring at home there, we talked about five guys coming off the board in the second round potentially, or in the third. You could potentially sit there and take a few of those guys and throw them into round number three as well. But essentially with this group of guys, we are talking about seven potentially off the board in the first two rounds of the draft, which we haven't actually seen that number since 2019. We had the six in round one and one in round two. I think that second round, like I said, second round, third round, fourth round is really the sweet spot of this draft for that defensive tackle spot. And that's really kind of the start of things with this group right there. As I look at round three and I look at my mock draft, I didn't really have guys coming off the board in round three. History tells us we'll have at least 3 to 4 D tackles taken in round number three. So the likelihood of us not having a single D tackle taken in round number three, that's likely not going to happen. So my mock draft right there, I may have to adjust it before we hit Thursday, but we look at Dwayne Carter out of Duke, 6'2", 302. He's a guy that feels like he should be a mid to late day three guy. And when you look at Dwayne Carter, what I like about him is, you know, he's a 3-year captain. That just doesn't happen at Duke. but he's also an exceptional athlete. You know, this is a guy, good quickness off the ball, the speed, the power, legit. You watch that game against Florida State, he just bowls over. I think it was Maurice Smith playing center and is in the face of Jordan Travis in a hurry. Exceptional junior year, 8 sacks, 50 total pressures. Both totals dropped, just 2 sacks, 22 total pressures, but was still able to push the pocket, put stress on the quarterback, force him off his spot. Teams have to hope that 2023, though, was an anomaly and that he can move back to that 2022 form, because really he improved season over season as an interior pass rusher. I think one area that can stand to be fixed as well was the tackling. He missed 33 tackles in his career, 25% of those opportunities, including nearly 30% of the tackle attempts his senior year, according to Pro Football Focus. But I think his traits are enough to be there, and a guy that I think could come off the board in round number 3. I'm going to give you another name that could come off the board in round 3. He's either a round 3 guy, potentially a round 4 because he's undersized, but incredibly explosive, and that's Mekhi Wingo out of LSU. 6 foot 284. He's a twitched up, undersized D-tackle. I mean, that's really the best way to describe him. Exceptionally quick first step, can be disruptive, getting early penetration into the backfield. Looked especially dynamic at the combine. I mean, just going through those drills, watching him going over the bags, watching him bend. He could be a true sleeper in this draft. And I'm looking at Ryan Nielsen, the new defensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? Moving to a 4 down line set. And so when you know, that attention with the interior of that D-line, I think the Jags are going to be looking at that. And Nielsen, look, he could easily use Wingo in the same manner that he used Grady Jarrett a season ago in Atlanta. So I love the fit. Round 3, round 4. If it goes to round 4, that's 116 overall. I think that would be a great spot for Wingo. Also, keep in mind Houston. You know, don't rule them out as well. I think, you know, with Houston, they need to get some guys to bring some juice to that defensive tackle spot. Mekhi Wingo playing there with D'Amico Ryans, I would love that mix as well. So we could see, you know, these two guys come off the board in round number 3. Which, if we only had 2, 2019, we just saw those two guys coming off the board there. That would hit 9. And what do you know? We end up with 9 if we include the two of them in round number 3. So 2, 5, and 2. And we still end up kind of equaling that average. I mean, it's really kind of crazy. So 2, 2, and 4. It is really what we're looking at over the 3-year average. 2-2-4, so that's 8. We've got 9, so we're kind of ahead of the game there. We go into round number 4. Round 4, the average is right about 3. I got 3 guys for you. One of those is going to be Tyler Davis out of Clemson, 6'2", 301. Yeah, he's a little undersized. The biggest thing with Tyler Davis is staying healthy. This is a guy, you know, he tore his biceps. You know, he's had some other injury issues there at Clemson. But when he's healthy, he's one of the more disruptive interior linemen that we've seen in college football over the last few years. And, you know, look, 16 sacks, 30 tackles for loss in his career, tremendous power in his hands, generates that push up front, strong leg drive, powerful punch at the point of attack, can collapse the pocket from the interior, quickness to be effective in the run game. Again, a little undersized at 6'2", 301. I'm looking at the Bills at 128 overall. Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, we know that they're a formidable duo at the defensive tackle spot, one of the most formidable in the NFL today. Significant questions up front beyond the two of them. Depth piece is no longer there. We know that. You know, we look at Deshaun Williams, Austin Johnson, they're brought in to fill the void left by Puna Ford, Linval Joseph, Tim Settle, Jordan Phillips. They need to target another D tackle. I think Davis is one of those guys that can be consistently disruptive when healthy. So that's why I think round 4 makes sense. That's where, you know, if you're going to be taking a chance on a guy like that, you know, round 4 feels like the right spot. And then you look at Tavondre Sweat. This is a guy at one point people were talking about him potentially in round number 2. He gets that driving while intoxicated. Now there are rumors going on. I think it was The Athletic and a couple of other publications noting that this guy was known as Bleacher Report, but he was known as a party guy. And so that's one of those things that obviously is going to be cause for concern. Tavondre Sweat is a massive human being. He's 6'4 and 366 pounds, but he carries the weight really well. moves like a guy who's 60 pounds lighter, ran a 5.28 40, and really looked smooth, which was crazy. He's powerful at the point of attack to plug holes, take on multiple blockers, but look, the agility. He can disengage quickly, pursuit down the line to drop guys. Evidence, 17.5 career tackles for loss for a guy that big. Sixth among Longhorns in tackles, shows that he's more than just a space eater as well. Only 2 sacks this past season, right? But had 29 total pressures. Pass rush win rate, according to Pro Football Focus, a solid 15.5%, meaning he's also effective getting after the quarterback. Paired up well with Byron Murphy, I'm looking at KC. KC has a lot of veterans on that roster. I think this will be a fit. I look at Andy Reid. This might be a situation where you bring Tavondre Sweat in there, especially getting to work with Chris Jones. You know, it makes a lot of sense. You know, you put that 5-year, $158 million deal with Jones. Derek Nnadi and Michael Pennell were signed to 1-year deals. I think Sweat would be one of those guys who, again, he falls to round 4. KC takes him at 131 overall. And he's a guy that can end up pairing with Chris Jones for the foreseeable future, especially if Nnadi and Pennell are not on the roster beyond the 2024 season, which could very well happen. One other name to be mindful of is Justin Aboigbe out of Alabama. 6'4", 297 pounds. And when I think about it, you know, Aboigbe, you know, this is a guy that, you know, I think of Byron Young out of Alabama, you know, played that defensive end spot for them, but really is a D tackle. Mostly a rotational player there at Bama until his senior year. Career year, 7 sacks, 11.5 tackles for loss, 56 tackles, good for 4th most on the team, very active. I look at Atlanta. Jimmy Lake implementing a base 3-4 scheme, and he's going to need some support for Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata. You've got Eddie Goldman, Tinquan Graham, Zach Harrison. They're going to get the first crack, but I think you bring in Aboigbe. This is a guy that I think is made for, tailor-made for that 5 technique. I look at Arizona. I look at Denver. I look at Baltimore as well as potential landing spots for Justin Aboigbe, but I think Atlanta, that would be a great move. And ultimately, you've got Jarrett, Onyemata, Harrison. I think may end up having to move to outside linebacker potentially. I don't know what his fit really is going to be with that group. Goldman's likely going to be Onyemata's backup. So I think Aboigbe could jump in and get a lot of playing time early on there with the Falcons. Then we move on to round number 5. Round number 5, you're looking at about 3 guys taken in the draft as a 3-year and really the 5-year average as well. I've got as many as 5 coming off the board here. Might be a little strong. So really I'm going to focus on the first 4. The first one's going to be Gabe Hall out of Baylor. 6'6", 291 pounds. If you watch that Senior Bowl, I think that was one of those things that was telling, because Gabe Hall was able to beat you with power. He was able to beat you with speed. This was the guy that really popped on the radar in 2021. Intriguing prospect, 11.5 sacks in the final 3 seasons there at Baylor. Uses the length, quick hands coming off the ball, athleticism to get early penetration. He'll beat you in a variety of ways, like I said. You know, we saw that at the combine. I look at Denver. I mentioned that you need a 5 technique there to pair with Zach Allen. Zach Allen, look, he had, 5 sacks in 2023. He needs help. Malcolm Roach, more of a depth piece, brought in there as a free agent. Gabe Hall, I think, is a guy that could push for playing time early. He could potentially end up being a starter at the next level. I look at Jaden Crumity out of Mississippi State. 6'4", 301, and I'm higher on him than I think other people as well, which is fine. But what I think about Jaden, and I look at it, I've got him actually mocked in round number 6. But I think he's a guy that could end up coming off the board in round 5. And here's why. You look at the stats, 16 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks, 5 pass breakups in his career. What I love about him is his ability to take up a lot of space, take on multiple blockers, and allow those linebackers. I mean, Nathaniel Watson and Jet Johnson were making plays for days behind him and Nathan Pickering. And so that's one of those things that I think teams aren't going to lose sight of that. You need those guys up front. Ran a 4.97 40 at the combine as well. So, I mean, in terms of the athleticism, look, that short shuttle has a 4.66. I mean, that's nothing to be upset about either. You know, that's showing, you know, for a guy his size, you know, he can bend, you know, he can change directions a little bit. And when you're talking about that 4.66, I mean, obviously Braden Fisk with his 4.37 was absolutely ridiculous. But 4.66, I think that was number two on this group behind Braden Fisk and Logan Lee, who both ran that 4.37. So athleticism, I think he was really, that was his job up front, but I think there's more athleticism there and there's more to work with than I think what we saw there with the Bulldogs. Leonard Taylor III out of Miami. 6'3", 303. This is a guy that can come off the board a lot higher. I think he can come off the board in round number four. I actually have him coming off the board in round five. And he's just one of those guys that, you know, you expected more from. This was a guy that I was expecting to dominate heading into 2023. Relatively disappointing season. You know, and that's why I'm expecting to see that draft stock take a hit. He's got tremendous quickness off the ball. Get early penetration. If that initial move is stifled, he does get knocked off balance, largely ineffective. I think he's going to be a developmental prospect, but huge upside, right? I'm looking at 150 overall to the Saints. I mentioned that they brought in Brian Brisee, and this was a guy, even though he didn't start, 4.5 sacks. Nathan Shepard, another 3.5. You got Kalen Saunders doing a lot of the dirty work, you know, eating up space. But I think, you know, Leonard Taylor III could come in there and provide some of that additional depth to the position. You know, I mentioned some of these other teams. Could he potentially play in an op-man front? I think he could. But you look at that 2022 season, 10.5 tackles for loss, 3 sacks and an interception. This past season, just 19 total tackles. He did play in 10 games, so there were some injury bugs hitting him. But 19 total tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, 1 sack, not nearly as active as some of these other guys that we talked about. Just 64 total tackles in his career there at Miami over those 3 seasons. So a bit of a concern, a bit of a wild card for me, and that's why I have him coming off the board in round number 5. And then Christian Boyd out of Northern Iowa. I think the 5th round feels like the right spot for Boyd. You know, this is a guy that was a lot of fun to watch, you know, studying the tape. Power, explosiveness. I mean, you got to the East West Shrine Game. He was repeatedly manhandling interior linemen at the FBS level. You know, he was playing at Northern Iowa. Just driving guys into the backfield at will. Tremendous strength up front, using that bull rush. You know, has a nice push-pull as well that we saw there at the East West Shrine Game as well. And I just think this is a guy, the tremendous power is what is going to be so appealing with him. And, you know, that's, you know, you need to have some of those guys along the defensive front. 6'4", 317 pounds, just massive. And dude just plays with incredible leverage, just drives into guys and is able to walk them back. He's one of those guys that if he's not on your radar, he very well should be. This past season, 14 solo tackles, 2.5 sacks, 38 total tackles on the year. But look, this is a guy that the power is going to be a lot of fun. And look at the Chargers. Chargers looking to revamp both sides of the ball. They want to get more physical. And I think Christian Boyd would bring that type of physicality to that team. Again, dude is a ton of fun to watch. So I would love to see that pairing there with him, Jim Harbaugh, and Jesse Minter. Which takes us to round number 6. So we've seen as many as 5 in 2021 and 2022, 3 just this past season. So our average is looking there at about 4. I got 4 names for you. The first one's going to be Fabian Lovett out of Florida State, 6'4", 314 pounds. This is a dude that holds his own at the point of attack. That's one of the things that I think really stood out. He did a lot of the dirty work for Jared Verse and Braden Fisk. Stout at the point of attack. Good leverage to stand up the interior lineman. Can stack and shed, engulf runners in the hole. Again, not much of a pass rush threat, but he eats up a ton of space, physical presence up front. And, I look at the Saints. I mentioned that, you know, hey, they may end up They've got a lot of picks on day three. I think they could potentially go for a three technique and a nose. And I think Fabian Lovett will be that nose tackle to relieve Kalen Saunders. I think that's a potential move for them along the interior of that defensive line. And then you look at Marcus Harris out of Auburn, 6'2", 286. You know, another guy who's kind of undersized. This is a guy that I think, you know, gets too much of that forward lean, gets too far over his toes, and will get himself off balance at times, which does get him into trouble. But look, 11 tackles for loss, 7 sacks on the year. And he's a guy, again, I think he'd come off the board a lot earlier. But, you know, Detroit. What's interesting about Detroit, you know, they've got a lot of those guys up front that we mentioned earlier with Wazirike. Aleem McNeil is a guy that really, you know, comes to mind as the guy that's been playing well for them up front. D-tackle, they bring in DJ Reader to be that nose. They've got Tyson Alualu, Broderick Martin, another guy that they drafted. But I think they need someone to push Levi Onwuzurike for playing time behind Aleem McNeil. And I think Marcus Harris, another guy that could give you that interior pass rush ability, I think that's something that the Lions could end up targeting there on day three of the draft. McKinley Jackson of Texas A&M, 6'1.5", 326 pounds. And McKinley Jackson, I think this was another guy that expectations were high coming into the season. And he's one of those guys that he stalls out so quickly trying to get after the quarterback. 5.5 tackles for loss, 3 sacks this past season. But he's one of those guys that, again, gets too far of a lean. His rush gets stifled. You know, he's a guy that I think can hold the point of attack, but I'm not sure how effective he'll be at the next level. At, you know, just 6'1 as well. You know, he does have some leverage, but I look at the Patriots sitting there at 180 in round number 6, and I'm thinking about that nose tackle. You know, they've got Devon Godshaw there. I think that that McKinley Jackson, they may take a flyer on him in round 6, see if he might be able to provide, if nothing else, some depth there up front. Keith Randolph out of Illinois, 6'3.5", 296 pounds. He's played both defensive end and D tackle for them. And ultimately, like I said, I've got him coming off the board in round number 6. Ran a 5'1", 5'40", just a 28.5-inch vertical leap. Not the most explosive guy by any means. When you look at the stats overall, you know, he was a guy that I thought, you know, he paired nicely with Johnny Newton. But really his best year was 2022. 13 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks this past year, 49 tackles, so he was active, but 4 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, wasn't nearly as effective. And that's ultimately why I think that may hurt his draft stock a bit. Some of that recency bias, I think you have to go back to that film and say, this is what he could be. Ravens, again, we're talking about needing a 5 technique. I think Keith Randolph could end up playing that role for them. We saw him there at Illinois play a similar role when they went to an odd man front. I think Keith Randolph, you know, that'd be a nice pick there towards the end of round number 6. 218 overall is where I have him going in my mock. And then we look at guys in round number 7. Miles Murphy of North Carolina, 6'4", 330 pounds. Showed some pretty good athleticism in the East-West Shrine game. Ran a 5'2", 40. This is a guy I look at as, you know, he's obviously a space eater. He's a big dude, but he carries the weight really well. A guy that's going to move down the line, chase guys down from behind. Really, the best year getting after the quarterback was in 2021. 9 tackles for loss, 4 sacks. Look, he's got 17 tackles for loss and 7 sacks in his career. Murphy, I ultimately have him. I originally had him going to KC at the top of round number 7. Ultimately, I kind of moved that around a little bit. And ultimately, I've got Murphy coming off the board to Green Bay at number 245 overall. I think this is a guy that could end up working out well as a 5 technique in a 34 defense. I think there's enough athleticism there from him to be able to accomplish that. Take a flyer on him in round number 7. How about Jamri Croma out of James Madison? No, this is a dude at 6'4", 330, I'm sorry, 6'4", 275 pounds. And with Kroma, this guy started his career at Rutgers and then transferred to James Madison. This past season, everyone wanted to talk about Jalen Green. Jalen Green was that undersized outside linebacker, injured, likely not going to get drafted as a result, not only of the injury, but just he lacks some of that explosiveness. He lacks length. And so he's one of those guys that's going to be a priority free agent at that linebacker spot. But freaking Kroma, 19 and a half tackles for loss, 10 sacks, explosive up front. I look at Kroma and he just feels like a guy that would either go to a D'Amico Ryans-led team or to the 49ers. I mean, it's kind of that same fit. I'm looking at 251 overall, the 49ers sitting right there. Houston Texans at 247. One of those two picks, I think that's where Kroma's going to go. I think he's going to be one of those guys that's going to fly under the radar. Maybe a team will take him a little bit higher, around earlier than that, thinking if he falls around 7, a team's definitely going to trade up and get him. So I'm really looking at Houston and San Francisco to eye Kroma and bring him in. And then the last D-tackle that I got is Juwan Briggs out of Cincinnati at 6'3 and 301 pounds. And look, Juwan Briggs, I've got him going to the Bengals. I think the Bengals can end up doubling up there at the defensive tackle spot. He's not the biggest guy by any means, but I look at him as a three technique and a guy that can get into the backfield, offers a little bit of pass rush ability, 12 sacks in his career, 21 and a half tackles for loss, can be very active. 2022, he had 61 tackles. That was really his best year overall. And he's a guy that I think can provide a little bit of pass rush help, can also be effective against the run. He's an early penetrator, and I think Cincinnati, they could use that along the interior of that line. And like I said, I think they could end up double-dipping and be just fine. Other guys to make note of, Evan Anderson of Florida Atlantic. I was surprised that Anderson decided to come out and enter the draft, but this dude is huge. 6'3", 356 pounds. This past season, 5.5 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, 58 total tackles as well for a dude this big. He's disruptive. He's surprisingly athletic for a dude his size. I think he can end up coming off the board middle to late day 3, and we'd be just, we would be surprised. I look at McKinley Jackson, I look at Evan Anderson. I'd much rather have Evan Anderson than McKinley Jackson. So if I'm a team, I may target Evan Anderson in round 6 or 7 as a nose tackle in favor of McKinley Jackson. I don't know that McKinley Jackson gets drafted. I'm not as high on him. I think Evan Anderson could be that guy. I really do. It seemed like every time I watched the Owls play, Evan Anderson was in the middle of things, mixing it up. He's a dude that's really a lot of fun to watch. Jordan Jefferson of LSU at 6'4", 314 pounds. What I like there with Jordan Jefferson is, again, this is a dude that started his career at West Virginia, 4 years there. In his last two seasons, 16 and a half tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks, 6 pass breakups, good length, a guy that's going to look to disrupt, as a pass rusher, put up 225 34 times with 33 and an eighth inch arm. So, that's moving the weight. And so I think he has a shot at getting drafted. Tuli Latuli Nasanoa. If you're looking for a dude that's just going to eat up a ton of space, Latuli Nasanoa is a guy that's going to be able to do that for you. 6'2", 300 pounds, not much of a pass rush guy, but 17 and a half tackles for loss in his career in 5 seasons with the Huskies. Again, a guy that just takes up a ton of space, a guy that's going to plug holes, a guy that's going to stack and shed and make plays behind the line of scrimmage. He's a guy that I think teams may end up overlooking, and a guy that if he ends up being a priority free agent, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up making a team. Logan Lee out of Iowa at 6'4", 301. Logan Lee, I think a lot of other Iowa D linemen get more of the focus, but with Lee, this was a guy very active, at least 54 tackles in each of the last two seasons. 18 and a half tackles for loss in his career, 9 sacks, 7 pass breakups. But it's the athleticism. That was the thing that I think was really showcased for him. 5.05 40 at the combine, 177 10-yard split. But then it was the short shuttle at a 4.37, tied for the fastest with Braden Fisk, and then a 7.16 300, which was the fastest among all the D tackles. Very athletic. I think there's an outside chance we could see Logan Lee get drafted just based on those athletic skills. But if he doesn't get drafted, he will be a high-priority free agent. Some team will lock him up and get him on the roster. So those are the other guys that I could see potentially getting drafted at some point. At the end of the day, if you're scoring at home, we ended up with two in round one, Byron Murphy the second, Johnny Newton. Round number two, we ended up with five. Braden Fisk, Michael Hall Jr., Mason Smith, Ruka Roro, and Chris Jenkins. Round number three, we ended up with just two there, and that was Dwayne Carter, Makai Wingo. In round number four, we ended up with three, and that's Tyler Davis, Tavondre Sweat, Justin Boykby. We get to round five, we got another four, and that's going to be Gabe Hall, Jaden Crumity, Leonard Taylor, Christian Boyd. Round number six, Fabian Lovett, Marcus Harris. I'm switching this around. I'm going with Evan Anderson over McKinley Jackson. And then Keith Randolph Jr. And then round seven, Miles Murphy, Jeremy Croma, and Juwan Briggs. So that would round out the group. You're looking at 23 defensive tackles taken, which is one fewer than what we saw come off the board a season ago. That is a couple of players higher than the three-year and five-year average. We average about 21, but I really look at this group. I threw in Croma and Briggs because I think those guys at the end of the draft, they feel like good value picks. So I really feel like 23 is the right total for this year's draft class. So we'll go ahead and put an end to the defensive tackles. We're going to look at the linebackers in the next podcast. Dallas Turner is going to be the focal point of the linebacker spot, edge rusher extraordinaire, but off-ball linebackers, beyond that, you're looking at Edger and Cooper. Is he a first-rounder? Does he come off the board in round two? Where does Peyton Wilson go? How about Jermaine Trotter Jr.? I mean, look, you know, we know what his dad has meant. You look at Gabriel Murphy. Is he a guy that can come off the board in round two as well as an edge rusher? Trevin Wallace, Junior Colson, Cedric Gray, Christian Braswell. There's some talent here at the linebacker spot, and I know that the off-ball linebacker has been devalued, but I keep saying this over and over again. Look at San Francisco in the linebacker play. Fred Warner, drafted in round number three. Dre Greenlaw, drafted in round number five. Those two guys, I know Greenlaw got hurt in the Super Bowl, but they played instrumental roles in that team getting to the Super Bowl. Look at KC, Nick Bolton, Leo Chenal, Willie Gay. I know Willie Gay is no longer on the roster, but you got Drew Crankwell there as well. Linebacker play, critical to the success of those defenses. So you can say all you want that off-ball linebackers are devalued, but at the end of the day, you're getting these guys in the second, third, fourth, fifth round. They are going to be playmakers, and that's going to make the difference with a lot of these teams that are looking to make a playoff run and have those Super Bowl aspirations. You've got to have that off-ball linebacker play if you want to be successful in the long run. So we'll go through it. We'll take a look at the guys that we should be paying attention to at that linebacker spot in all 3 days of the draft. So until next time, everyone, for ReadyForTheDraft.com, this has been the Ready for the Draft podcast. I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone. Until next time, I am out of here.